This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayigash. And of course, today being the yahrzeit of Maureen Uharav, Mordechai Pinchas Teitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it's our hope that the Dibrei Torah that we offer this afternoon, this morning, should serve Li'ilui Nishmaso. Okay, so at the beginning of the Parsha, we find out that Yehuda approaches Yosef and he says, Bi Adoni, please, sir, yidaber na avdecha davar biazne Adoni, that I'd like you to let your servant speak on behalf of my master. And Rashi explains that Yehuda spoke with Yosef rather harshly, which is troubling. We just left Yehuda at the end of Parshas Miketz in quite a conciliatory and almost pleading tone. So we don't want to see or expect such a dramatic shift in his style. So Rav Amital Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, explains that while it's obvious that when trouble befalls the community, it represents a punishment, which comes as a result of the evil deeds of the tzibur, of the community. But when it comes to the individual, that's not always the case. And using the Ramban at the beginning of Iyov as proof, Rav Amital explains that when Yehuda believed that the decree fell on all the brothers, so then Yehuda thought the predicament was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef, and for that they would accept their fate. But when it became apparent that Yosef only sought to apply his verdict to Binyamin alone, so then it became possible that this wasn't a divine decree, but rather a regular incidental event. And if that was the case, that this was just some incident, then the situation could be changed. And that gave Yehuda a new perspective. And as a result, it prompted him to deliver his speech before Yosef, and to do so with a certain newfound confidence, which was perceived as Devarim Kashi. So Yosef gets swayed, and he puts his voice b'vchi, and he makes the declaration, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai, that I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? Lo yachlu achav la'anoso soki nevhalo mipanav. The brothers couldn't answer him, because they were blown away from him. They were not able to respond, because they were blown away from that which he stated. And Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter Shlita would often remind us that because Yosef's brothers were missing that one piece of information, they couldn't understand what was going on. So Rav Shachter would tell us the same occurs in the history of the Jewish people. There are so many things that occur in Jewish history that we don't understand, and sometimes we need to understand that we don't understand. The Haftorah, for instance, is one such example. We're also reminded that in the future, after all of Jewish history will be unfolded, then at that point, we too will understand everything in context, and we will be blown away within the process. That's our responsibility. That's our understanding, and what we need to hold on to, especially in the tougher times. The Torah, the Parsha continues, that Yosef then convinces the brothers to take care, and to go bring Yaakov down, and he departs from them. And the Torah tells us that Yosef cried on Binyamin, Binyamin b'cha al tzavarav, that Binyamin cries on Yosef's neck as well. And Rashi explains that Yosef cried for the two Batei Mikdash that he saw destroyed, and Binyamin cried on Yosef's shoulders because of the destruction of Shiloh. And why does crying need to be explained? What's Rashi trying to do over here? After all, the two brothers hadn't seen each other for 22 years. Why couldn't they just cry just because of that? And why can't the tears that they shed at that moment of time be the tears of joy? So the late great Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva of El Yisvei Zatzal answers that the main purpose of having a Beis HaMikdash was for the entirety of Bnei Yisrael to have a place to come together and to seek rachamim from Hashem. A Beis HaMikdash needs achva, which is why it can only be built in Binyamin's chelek. After all, he was the only brother who was not involved in the sale of Yosef. He was the only one who represented achva. And so when Yosef and Binyamin reunited, they certainly felt that sense of achva, that they were suffering, because their awareness that the achva was not enough to fend off destruction was crushing to them. And thus they cried for the destruction, which displayed the lack of achva, which is the reason why there was going to be destruction. And for that reason, Ubinyamin b'chal tzavarav. Anyway, Yaakov Avinu hears the story that Yosef's alive. By Yaris ha'agalos, he sees the wagons. And Rashi explains that Yaakov was convinced by the sign that the wagons that Yosef sent. But what was the connection between the fact that he had studied Egla Arufa and the Agolos, there which have nothing to do with one another ostensibly. So Nissen Alpert Zetzel explains that the wagons were an indication of what Yosef was all about. In other words, taking responsibility for the family. When Yosef would speak badly about the brothers, it's because he felt that it was his responsibility. Although perhaps not the most popular responsibility, to turn around and tell their brothers, hey, listen, you know, this is not the right way to go. When he went to check on the brothers, it was because of his sense of responsibility. And now, when Yaakov saw the Agalos, he knew once again that this was Yosef taking responsibility for the family, and for that, he was quite relieved in the process. So, that becomes the basis. Vayaris HaAgalos, at the same time, it can be declared that he saw the wagons, and he said, Rav Yosef Bini Chai, he said, my son Yosef is still alive, to which Rav Shimshon David Pinkus comments and declares that to Yaakov there was no honor in the fact that Yosef had achieved power and wealth. The biggest honor to Yaakov was the fact that Yosef was Chai, that he was alive with the spirit of the Torah. That was important to Yaakov. He knew, so to speak, that now someone could say Kaddish appropriately for him. He knew that there was a life to be felt. And so therefore, that's why he decided to go ahead and go greet him. So when he gets down to Mitzrayim, the Gemara and Brachas that Paro tells Yosef that if you have some warriors among the children, among your brothers, then you should put them in charge of me. So are my armies. And the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph notes that in the same manner that Paro was credited with bringing the Jews close for his own purposes, then somebody who invites Talmid Chachamim into his home and respects the Talmid Chacham and takes care of the needs of the Talmid Chacham, such a person is to be praised. The basis of the comparison is from Paro bringing the brothers in to be warriors. And from there, that's how we learn that we who take care of Talmidei Chachamim, that will also be praised. So Rav Dov Yaffe Zatzal, the great Mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, he asks, what kind of comparison is that? The one inviting the Talmid Chacham does so selflessly, but Paro only acted in his own self-interest. How are you supposed to make a comparison between the two? So Rav Yaffe answers that even when something's done for one's own self-interest, if it benefits the one who receives it, there is a chiyuv to offer hakaras hatov, and that's the kal v'chomer over here. As long as you get some benefit, you have a responsibility to memaker tov. That's a fundamental in Yiddishkeit. So Yaakov Avinu meets Paro, and Paro asks him, wow, you're old. How old are you? And Yaakov answers, ma'at v'ra'im, I'm over 100 years old, and the days of my life are few and bad. And Ramban asks that Yaakov Avinu seems to be giving up the remaining time that he had. So why is he doing that? And Rav Matzio Solomon Shalita, the great Lakewood Mashgiach, answers that Yaakov wasn't able to see the roa in that ra'a. That what? That Hashem roi lo echsar. That Hashem has been protecting him and guiding the entire time. And Yaakov wasn't able to see it, and so therefore he says, ma'at v'ra'im. Rav Asher Weiss Shalita suggests that when Yaakov talked about life, perhaps it was in comparison to the lives of Avraham Yitzchak, who he felt lived better lives of Shlemus, of Limud, of Avodas Hashem. And that's why he says, Ma'at V'rayim, I didn't achieve that which I thought I should have achieved within the process of my life. I could do even more. Finally, in the Haftarah, we're told that Yechezkel Navi was told, Ve'ata ben Adam, now, son of man, take a stick and write Yehuda v'Yisrael Chavirav on one side, and take another stick and write Yosef v'Nei Yisrael Chavirav, and then put them together in your hands. Now, why is this an ideal nevuah? It sounds as if you're just putting two sticks together. That creates achdus. So Rabbi Baruch Simon Shalita once noted that achdus is not a concept that's created by speeches. It's created when one really feels the needs of a tzibur as one. And nowhere is this more actualized than when the people put themselves together by working together b'yadayim. That's our job. Take the two hands, put it together, and when you work together, you get to la'achadim be'einecha, to get that sense of achdus within the process. We live a life where we've been trying desperately to get to that stage of achdus. It's the ultimate goal, and with God's help, we will get to that point quickly in our days, in the days where the tears of Binyamin and Yosef will be full and done. A day where we will be able to say, Az yamalei schopinu ushoneinu rina, and may we work and get there b'mheira v'yameinu, to get to a Shabbat Shalom to all.